Hello and welcome to North Cadonan Mennonite Church. My name is Timothy Winger and I am the Faith Development Pastor here. Before we begin, I do need to acknowledge that I do have a speech impediment, which might make it difficult to understand me. I've worked hard at getting it down to this point, but if at any point you can't hear me, raise your hand and I'll take that as a signal that I need to slow down and enunciate. I want to welcome you all here. I hope that this service can be a break from the busyness of life and that you would take this morning to join in the conversation that is worship. I'd like to welcome Boli, who arrived the other week from Kenya. We are blessed to have you here. Are there any other guests that would like to be introduced? We will then move to a time of announcements. As I have said, Boli recently arrived from Kenya. There is an advertisement in the bulletin for a music and trivia fundraiser on March 12th. I'd like to say a big thank you on behalf of the youth for February 14th's Bush fundraiser. We raised $2,393 for our trip to Saskatoon. Are there any other announcements at this time? If there are no other announcements, we will move to the call of worship in the bulletin. We will alternate verses. I will read one verse if you would read the next, please. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing our hearts.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever.
In keeping God's word, there is great reward.
Let us therefore bow down and worship our Maker.
Our Rock and our Redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen.
Rudolph, would you please come show some music? The children, please come forward for the children's story.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Okay, do you know what I have here? What kind of books? Cookbooks, yes, and look how many I have. I didn't even bring all my cookbooks. If you notice, do they look used? No. You're right. They still look pretty brand new because you know what I do with them? I look at the pictures. And I read the recipes, but I don't really cook. And actually, the reason I'm telling you this is because the Bible is kind of like a cookbook. The Bible has God's recipe for being a Christian and living a life that is pleasing to Him. So lots of people read the Bible every day, but that's not just enough. It's like when I just read the recipe. Does anyone get to eat anything yummy? No. Mr. White says, no, if I just read the recipe, then nothing yummy gets made. Same thing, if you're just reading the Bible, it's not going to make you a Christian, just like reading a cookbook won't make you a cook. We also have to do what it says in the Bible to become a Christian. So, that's what the grown-ups are going to be talking about today, about reading the Bible and thinking and trying to figure out what that means in our lives. And when you go to Sunday school, maybe you'll talk about something like that too. So let's bow for prayer. Lord, help us not to only read and study your word, but to follow its teaching to live a life that will be pleasing to you. Amen. And this morning you're going to sit, because I think Mrs. Peters is going to sing a song with us all together. And then you can go to Sunday school.
We're all going to sing. I'm not going to sing a song. It's Jesus Loves Me. If you need the words or if you want to find some harmonies that are in the blue hymnal, it's 341. Because something else the Bible always tells us is that Jesus loves us, that God loves us, and I, for one, need that reminder every day. So we're going to sing this song. Just sing the what's in here, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, twice through.
We are a community of gathered believers, and as such, we listen to each other's joys and concerns. Our thoughts go out to Peter Dirksen's family, Agnes and Andrea, Frank, Herta, James and Monica, Kurt and Lisa at his passing. We also keep in mind Peter Hirschfield, who is very ill and in need of prayers for patience and healing. Please keep Liz, Kyle, and the extended family in prayer, as well as Ken Alt is receiving palliative care. Please keep Ken, Linda, Christy, Neil, and Jason in your prayers, as well as John and Heidi Schrader. As the microphone comes around, please give us your name and feel free to share what is on your heart.
Hello, Veronica Dick here. Just wanted to give you a bit of an update on my ankle. I had an appointment with my surgeon on Thursday, and I've been given the go-ahead to weight bear. So I am feeling, I'm feeling a lot more freedom. I've had no pain, just a lot of tingling in my foot, but hopefully that will go away yet. They're thinking in a month I should be off my brace, like without my boot, and starting physio, and possibly able to drive in 6 weeks. So keep your fingers crossed. Just wanted to thank everybody for, again, your support means a lot to us. Thank you.
Hi, I'll just give a quick update because many of you have asked about Kim, and I just talked to her yesterday. She's been able to come down on her morphine levels a lot, so we're very thankful for that. Eating is still hard. She's still not where she needs to be, but it's going in the right direction. So thanks again, everybody, and I've got her knitting some prayer shawls for us now, so...
Hi, this is Elfrida Gertz. I guess I better update you too. I was at my doctor's last Wednesday, and the x-ray showed that the bones have healed. I have started physio, and I'm using a walker, not a wheelchair. Yeah. But it will take a while for me to drive. He says there's too much damage in the ankle.
Yes, I'm John Schrader, Ken's father-in-law. Actually, the doctors have not given us much hope for Ken. They've told us that it's actually terminal. So I do appreciate the prayers that we've had and the prayers that we've had and the calls that we've had. You have no idea when Linda was sick, she was unconscious for 7 days, and the good Lord decided to let her live. Now we're praying for the same thing for Ken. Thank you.
Okay. As we pray, when I pray the words, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for family, friends, life, love, for all the blessings, for Bolly's safe arrival, for Veronica's weight bearing, for Kim's ongoing journey, and for Elfrida's healing, and for everything else you have bestowed upon us. Lord, compassionate one, God of our mothers and fathers, your desire for us leads the way. May we have the ears to hear the cries of this world, responding with your hope. Lord, in your mercy, compassionate one, fill us with your love, that we may see deeply into all the needs around us. Please be with the Dirksen family, with Peter and Ken. Help us to care with your heart. May your love, your grace, your compassion, your mercy carry us away this day and lead us with hope to be your hands and heart in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We will now sing the Lent hymn, which is in your bulletin.
I'll be reading Psalm 19, verse 7 to 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than the honey, than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Deuteronomy 11:18-21. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord. Swore to give your ancestors as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. James 1:22-25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
Let's sing together again from the Blue Hymnal number 363, 363, Renew Your Church.
Amen. It's getting more nervous throughout that song. Luckily, you're far enough away you don't see my hands shaking. My last official class of my master's degree was titled Prayer. And in it, we were encouraged, okay, we were required, to choose a prayer practice to engage in and reflect on throughout that semester. And a number of years previously, I had been briefly introduced to something called Lectio Divina. And I had really enjoyed the experience. And so I chose to practice it more regularly for this class. I also ended up writing a paper on it. So it seemed logical to choose it as the spiritual discipline that I wanted to share about during this Lenten series. But I also discovered that I really wasn't sure how to write a sermon about it. I'm still not quite sure I know. So what I hope to do this morning is to explain a little bit about what this strange thing called Lectio Divina actually is. And then also to share a little bit about how it has touched my life and deepened my relationship with God. And hopefully in the process, maybe interest some of you in trying it out sometime. Because I truly believe that God still speaks to us through his word. And that the practice of Lectio Divina is one of the most beautiful ways to experience God's voice and to engage with God in genuine conversation through scripture. So first, a bit of history. Lectio Divina is a Latin phrase, as you may have guessed, that basically means divine or holy reading. And it came to mean a practice of praying scripture. It has actually been called the oldest form of Christian prayer. Early theologians described a practice where in reading, God speaks to us and we listen to God. And then in praying, we speak to God. It's as simple as that. Many of the famous collections of sayings from some of the those early theologians mention meditating or ruminating on scripture. But it was Benedict in the 6th century who first named it as a practice, and it's the monastic tradition which has preserved it. Benedict divided the monastic day into three essential activities. First was common prayer or liturgy, basically corporate worship, manual labor or working at a craft, and Lectio Divina. Those were the three things the monks were required to do every day. In my research, it's claimed that the monks spent between 2 and 4 hours a day in the practice of reading and prayer. And to put that in perspective, they were to work for 5 to 6 hours a day and spend 3 to 4 hours in common prayer. Extra time then was given to Lectio in Lent, and they were free to pursue it all day on Sundays. Each monk, Benedict said, was to have his own book, which was a rare and valuable thing at the time, and so obviously he felt this was a very important practice. They were to look for a good place and to read slowly and out loud. Repetition was encouraged as this led to memorization, which would contribute to meditation at other times. If you can call up scripture while you're working or while you're walking on the road, it's much easier than carrying a book, right? Now, eventually, as is often the case with any spiritual practice, it became more systematic. For instance, a man called Guigo II in the 11th century wrote a little paper called The Ladder of Monks, explaining the Lectio Divina in 4 stages. So first was Lectio, which was the reading, Meditatio, meditation, Oratio, which was prayer, and then contemplatio, contemplation. And for him, these were progressive. Contemplation was the goal. He described this ladder in 2 ways. Reading seeks, meditation finds, prayer asks, contemplation feels. He also used the metaphor of eating. Reading puts the whole food in your mouth. Meditation chews it and breaks it down. Prayer finds its flavor. And contemplation is the sweetness that delights and strengthens us. So Lectio Divina was an essential practice in the monastic tradition, whether more loosely defined or with a system or a method. Why? It was about listening with faith and listening prayerfully, with an intensity that would have a formative effect. The practice was about internalizing one's biblical learning, which hopefully would lead to spiritual wisdom, to growth. However it was defined, Lectio Divina always included reading and prayer. We begin with reading. We begin with listening to God speak to us, and we conclude in prayer, responding to God and applying the biblical text to our own context. This kind of reading intensely and prayerfully was the pathway to what the monks called conversation morum, ongoing formation, the continual conversion of life, always striving, always growing. It was not simply devotional, pious, or spiritual reading, but a practice with depth and context and discipline, firmly rooted in the Word of God. It involved your mind, your heart, and your soul, and required a large investment of time and concentration. It also required an attitude of openness and vulnerability, a willingness to listen and to respond with integrity. Well, so much for the history lesson. We, however, at least I, am not a monk. Finding 2 or 3 hours a day to intensely read in prayer is a little bit more than I can manage. So I thought, what are the important things that can be transferred from this monastic tradition to our lives today? And I want to pull out 3 things. One, I think, is finding some time and finding it regularly, some kind of routine that works for you. It's a progressive practice of entering through scripture into a deeper relationship with God. If it's going to have an effect in our lives, then we need to be persistent and consistent. It doesn't happen in one reading. It happens over time. Right now, in my practice of Lectio Divina, I'm trying to do it once a week. That's what I can manage. 2, we need to learn to read differently. The monks read slowly and out loud. They savored the text, reading and rereading. Now, I tend to devour books rather than savor them. But besides slowing down our reading, we also need to avoid reading, at least for the purpose of this practice, avoid reading too literally or too critically or rationally. Part of the purpose of Lectio Divina is to uncover new meanings in the text for the reader personally. So that may even seem very unrelated to the text's original meaning or intent. And that's okay. It's about what it's saying to you at that time. Lectio reading is gastronomical rather than intellectual. It's something we're ingesting rather than something we're thinking about. It goes into our minds, yes, absolutely, but it's also in our hearts. In my personal practice, what I try to do is I have space where nobody else is in the house. I read out loud. I stop, I think what comes up, what jumps out at me. I jot notes in a journal because that helps me to remember it for the future. I take time to pray, and then I repeat that 3 times. So a smaller scripture passage, reading it through 3 times and pausing in between. The 3rd thing is that we need to be fully present. One author I read called Lectio Divina an anti-technique. It's not about how you do it. It's simply and incredibly challenging practice of mindfulness. It's an attitude of reverence and expectancy. We need to come to our time of reading and praying, expecting to hear God, wanting to learn and grow, willing and intending to respond, and open to being changed and transformed. So for me, that requires a space. I have a chair, I have a candle, and I take 3 deep breaths before I begin, before I even open my Bible, and just repeat some words, something like, I am here, I am listening, to focus myself. This is what I'm doing now. Nothing else matters. Now, I realize that I focused quite a bit this morning on the monastic tradition, but I'd like also to note that the presence of something very like Lectio Divina, although it's not called that, has been also present in the Protestant evangelical tradition as well, which includes us. It's often called devotional reading. Now, this was and is a common practice of reading, meditation, prayer, the experience of the Holy Spirit, and a call to action. The purpose or the fruit of this kind of reading is transformational rather than informational. Sound familiar? Some contemporary authors have given us guidelines for practicing Lectio Divina in our own time and space. Some of these things I've mentioned when I've talked about my own. Choosing a time of day and a space that is optimal for you is important. You should be alert and rested, with no outside pressures to distract you for that block of time. Lectio requires more than one reading. Many texts have more than one level of reading, and we need to go beyond the superficial interpretation and learn to wait on the word, rereading the same text several times. You may not always receive direction, but faithfulness produces its own fruit. The reading of Scripture should be freely interrupted by prayer, conversation with God, just a simple awareness of God's voice or presence. And you may choose to read a book from start to finish. You may choose texts that match your mood that day. You may follow lectionary readings. You could use a concordance to choose texts by a subject matter if you want to focus on something like that. Or some like to randomly open the Bible or recall memorized passages. So all of this talk of Scripture reading, I'd like to touch on the Scripture passages that were read this morning. Deuteronomy 11:18 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." And Moses goes on to encourage the Israelites to teach them to their children, to talk about them at home and while traveling, at night, in the morning, to write them on their door frames and their gates. He says the same thing earlier in chapter 6, after the passage most of us know, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength." The commandments of God were to be ingested, conversed about, shared, thought about, everywhere and anywhere. And that couldn't happen if they didn't read or hear the words regularly. The more we read and pray the Scripture, the more it infiltrates our lives, our conversations, our interactions, our thoughts and deeds. It transforms us. And I have found that the more regularly I have practiced Lectio, the more open I am to hearing God's voice at other times as well. Psalm 19 speaks of all kinds of things that God's word is and all that it does in us. It revives or refreshes our souls. It makes us wise, gives us joy and light. It warns us and it rewards us. And in my own somewhat regular practice of Lectio Divina over the last couple of years, I can attest to this. There have been times when not much happened. times when I was convicted or challenged, many times when I have been uplifted and encouraged, as well as times when I've been left with questions. The James passage talks about our responsibility to respond to God's voice in the world. And Ingrid talked about this as well, about not just reading the cookbook, but actually cooking something. It's more than just reading or even just listening. It needs to affect our lives and our actions. And I believe that if we truly come to the practice of Lectio Divina with an open mind and an open heart, with a willingness to listen and to engage with God's word, we will be changed. I know that I have only been able to stay strong and to hold on to my sense of calling through this long waiting period because I have worked at deepening my relationship with God. And one of the big pieces for me has been this practice of Lectio Divina. Now, you may read the Bible in a variety of ways. I know I do. We hear it read on Sunday mornings. We read a verse or two with our morning or evening devotion. Some of us may read the Bible in 1 year. We study the Bible. We learn about the history, the context, different interpretations. We memorize our favorite verses. We hear scripture in hymns or other songs. Lectio Divina as a spiritual practice is different than all of these, and yet it spills over into them, and they spill into it. There have been many times when I have found myself humming a Steve Bell song as I read the Psalms, or a passage that I read for Lectio may turn up somewhere else that week and bring new meaning to both. To me, Lectio Divina is about communication, having regular conversations with God, but where I wait for God to speak first, to direct the conversation. There are enough other times when I initiate prayer and bring my own agenda to the conversation. But this is different. I come to the text and wait to hear God's voice in it. Sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes it's obvious right away. Once in a while, nothing much happens, and instead I simply rest in God's presence. It's different every time, but it's always been meaningful. Would you pray with me? God, many times we come to you and to your word looking for quick and easy answers or wanting to make ourselves heard. Help us also to learn to slow down and to spend time listening. And when we hear you, may we respond honestly and with our whole selves. Thank you for speaking to us in so many ways, but especially this morning, for speaking through your word. Amen. Now, I chose a new hymn as a response. Lord, you sometimes speak. It's in our hymnals, number 594. And I've wanted to do this song a few times, and I just figured this was the right time. It talks about the different ways that God speaks to us. Verse 4 is obvious, speaking in scripture. He also speaks in wonders and whispers in silence and in Jesus. And I think a lot of this I have found in my practice of Lectio Divina. I'm just going to start singing it, and we'll ask you to join in as you feel comfortable. It's unison. It's fairly simple. There's 5 verses, so hopefully by the end you will have caught on. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Following the benediction, Rudolph will play one last song. Please stand. Lord, you invite us into many places. You invite us into relationships. You invite us into conversation. You invite us into action. When the invitation is difficult to accept, give us strength and wonder and hope. When the invitation is to an easy way, help us to accept and rock on. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.